Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
But yeah, we're back to it right now, and I am recording on my end, and I'm going to do one of my favorite things, a little snappy dappy. So now people know what's up. We're in. Will I remember to cut it out of the beginning of the episode this time?
No.
Probably not. Why? Because that takes me editing. Also, in the video, the sign looks very like,
oh yeah,
you can see it because of the frames per second, but
also because that light is fake neon. Mm-hmm. It's just like a LED or whatever.
Yeah, so
where the actual neon light, I don't think it does that.
Yeah,
but it's in our room, so we wouldn't be
well
able
I
to
think
tell.
You kind of see the gases maybe moving. It's less. Ooh. Like up and
that would be cooler.
Yeah,
to see
neon,
like,
cool heads, real neon heads, let us know.
Yeah,
let
and
us
also know. If you have neon in your head, call a doctor.
No, they know. That's what the neon gang is. Annie Saunders, who was at the Halloween party, who I went to high school with.
Yep. I almost said her full Instagram name, and I was like, maybe
well,
not.
Well, I said her whole government name, so.
Yeah, but a whole government name, I feel like at this point, is harder to find someone based on than
true.
Just their full Instagram handle.
Have you ever, like, crushed deep dive? Like, was like, oh, whatever happened to that crush? And you're, like, deep diving, searching for that person, and you cannot find them to save your life?
Yeah, remember, because we were just talking about it's about to be my 20-year high school reunion, and I was like, oh, I loved this boy. Let me look at him, and I have no idea where he is, and I can't even remember his last fucking name.
Lost in the sauce, you know? So, yeah, no, I definitely...
Oh, but Annie makes neon signs.
Yeah, neon signs. So if she's listening...
switched to having crushes. I was like, but we know where she is.
Yeah. Yeah, if she knows whether or not it'll show up appropriately, let us know if you're listening. If not, wow.
If not, sorry for talking about you.
Well, if not, they won't even know. If not, they're just going to be living their life freely, not supporting.
Not answering our neon sign questions.
Not answering our neon sign questions. Not supporting what we do here on this fine
program. Disrespectful.
That's something I started doing, and I'll never stop. Welcome to our relationship podcast, the podcast where we wade through the internet's mess so you don't have to. Talking way too much, as always, is Ify Wadiway, and I'm joined by my lovely partner,
Emily Louise.
It's the first time in a long time you got to hear those chimes.
I love them.
Yeah, you've been recording raw this whole time.
Typical.
Without headphones, and now here you are back hearing the sounds that I can play right here.
I like it because I feel like when I don't have the headphones on, although I can hear how loud I'm talking out loud, I don't actually know if I'm like screaming or not.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that one that is.
I mean, you've been fine. I feel like I feel like I would talk about it peaking, but you know, now you get the treats.
Yeah. Ooh. I'm kind of into this.
Well, I'm glad you're into it.
I think you need to be into it.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up, baby?
Yeah. Real monster fucker hours. We're going to kick this thing off how we always do by saying something nice that you did this week, where we say something nice about something the other person did this week. We're going to get back to having a guest, so we're going to have to find a more sustainable for backlog things. I mean, I think we've in the past had no...
We could just start recording more of them at a time.
Well, that's what I'm saying is when we do that, since we do more at a time, it's the same week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, sorry.
Yeah.
My brain is stupid.
No, it isn't. Don't talk about my girlfriend that way.
I mean, a little dumb is a treat. Not bad.
All right. Okay. This is great. I texted, my cousin. I'm not going to say his government, who's a lawyer, because, you know, I'm going to drop some, you know, supplies off to those UCLA students. And I said, what should I, now I see what happened. Autocorrect fucked it up. I said, gonna drop some food off at UCLA. What legal things should I have ibuprofen in my back pocket? And he said, don't understand the question. I said, if the cops fuck with me, what should I know? And so he said, you don't have a requirement to identify. Don't consent to searches. They don't have to explain why you're being detained or arrested.
Also, I'm glad you took your contacts out.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I went to the George Floyd thing, I got pepper sprayed in the eyes with contacts in, and you have to take your contacts out immediately because the pepper spray just sticks to your contacts.
Ooh,
and wait. It is like a atrocity level.
Okay, so what do they do about the snipers on the roof? What contact plan do I...
If you don't have your contacts on, you can't see them. I guess that's a win.
I know. It's very simple. I feel like... as always, just wonderful just having you have my back as always. We went to the Ren Fair. That was real fun. You dressed really cute. I've always, we always do something so grand about each other, but it can be as simple as like, yeah, you were really cute when you went to the Ren Fair and got a drunk tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Which I can't stop looking at even sober. So I know it was a good choice.
I mean, that's the great, like, thing about tattoos is you get a cool thing on your body, you just keep looking at it and you're like, oh yeah.
Well, and also I feel like for a long time a lot of my tattoos are here or like on my upper arms and stuff, and I didn't really get to look at them, and now I'm like, look.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that.
Mine was also gonna be about the Ren Fair.
Oh, nice.
Because I think I've sort of talked about this before, but I feel like a lot of the times as women or femme presenting or whatever, like, I can't wear what I want when I go out because I'm afraid that I'm going to be assaulted.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like, for anything. And I really feel like you give me the freedom to allow me to be who I want to be without feeling nervous.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Which in, you know, short form is I get to dress like a hoe and no one's going to fuck with me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I appreciate you for that.
Look, and I feel like everyone's happy about that. Me,
yeah,
you,
except for the people who are trying to touch me.
Yeah, well, you know.
But yeah.
They're gonna get a touch firmly.
Also, that video of us at the Ren Fair drinking from that lady.
Yeah, I know.
Highlight.
That's been great, and I think now because I saw another video post because everyone. So if you don't know, there's a bar maiden. She's pretty amazing. Kind of like.
Well, they're all great.
They're all great. Yeah, not to, you know, throw the other bar maidens.
We just had her specifically. Yeah, that's why we're talking.
And
about
I didn't know this was like a specific viral one. She just kind of opened right when we got there, and we're like, perfect. And we go up.
I mean, literally, we're in another line, and we were the second people from the front when she opened it. We're like, great.
Yeah, went to her, And so when we recorded this, us sipping it down. Also, everyone has attributed Scott to someone different on different platforms.
Yeah, and it's none of those people.
Yeah, and on Instagram, they think it's Grant. On TikTok, they think it's Trap.
The Grant, I can hear. The Trap, I cannot.
I heard it after reading it, and I was like, okay, I can see the Trapism.
Well, and also...
Get down.
But also, you know,
you're supposed to be up there.
We were there with Abria and stuff, so I get why there might be other people that people know there.
Yeah. So it went great, but I'm already thinking about like, okay, what's the next like version I'm gonna do? Which, because you know, you already know my turned up spicier version, which will be revealed when it happens. But I'm thinking I'm grabbing on and I'm talking back. I think I'm gonna start off by saying my mouth is yours. And seeing, because now, because I saw her do it with other people, and I've like, she'll say stuff to get the everyone going, and I was like, oh, okay, two can play that game,
three can play that game,
yeah, three can play that
we'll game. Make her blush,
yeah, so that's the goal.
Also, I forgot you hadn't been in the Renaissance Fair before COVID.
Yeah,
because you know they didn't used to give you cans.
Oh,
they used to pour it down their tits and you open your mouth.
See the things that COVID has taken from us. We need good policy so we can get back to sipping beer out of tits. All right.
We can do that in our spare time.
Now that we're done with our mess, let's jump into the internet's mess. First up, we're jumping right into some fun. My 38 male, wife 40 female, gives me mixed signals when it comes to anal. What's the best way to approach it? My wife tells me consistently that she doesn't want me messing with her butthole. That's obviously totally fine. I am happy to do whatever, including leaving her anus alone. The issue is outside of the words. All other communication tells me she really likes her anus messed with. For instance, I'll be giving her oral at her vulva, and she'll draw up her legs to make it to where if I don't move my mouth, then I'll be licking her anus. So I don't. And then I continue my business and she moans and appears to like it. Then when we move to sex, I often use my hand while laying on her. During this, she'll grab my little guy and guide it toward her, but not exactly into her. I end up placing it in her anus and she orgasms every time. Tells me she really enjoyed it. Having said this, she always tells me she doesn't like butt stuff and doesn't want me around her butt. I'm a big consent guy, and it bothers me that I'm doing something she tells me she doesn't want, but then will physically guide me toward that almost always and give her an orgasm. She will orgasm with regular penis and vagina sex as well, but those orgasms don't seem as intense, at least from what I can tell. So I guess, do I just go along as I have been? Do I stop doing butt stuff? Do I tell her explicitly that we're doing anal, even though she told me she doesn't want it? I want to give her what she wants, but honestly, I don't know what that is.
This is very interesting, because at first I was just going to be like, oh, if it's your mouth or fingers, like that's not anal.
Yeah.
But I was like, if you just don't want to be fucked a bunch in the ass, fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't really.
I think this is like, you know, sitting down and have the conversation, but it seems like.
Yeah. Of like what the boundary actually is of what you don't want, because it seems like she does. And I agree. You are correct.
Well, you know, it's so funny because obviously, like, the main focus is always going to be, like, enthusiastic consent when performing sex, especially with strangers.
Performing sex.
But I think, you know, when you're in relationships, there's different levels of, like, blanket consent and, like, what that means. And it seems like this thing where it's, like, if you are into it, she's into it, and she's kind of like the consent is her guiding it. I think that's like a safe bet. If you want like a solid bullet, like if you want like honest consent, you can have a conversation. I don't think there's nothing wrong with having a conversation. I think the conversation could just be kind of everything you laid out here.
Yeah. Like, hey, I know you're telling me these things, but then sometimes when we're having sex, this happens. And I just want to talk about like what the boundary is for what you want and don't want. Cause I agree that it's like, it seems like she doesn't want to be surprised with it.
Yeah.
But it seems like when she's into it, she's like ready, which, you know, there's a lot of prep that goes into a lot of butt stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure you're keeping those sheets clean.
Yeah.
Whatever, everyone's ready.
We don't have the sponsorship yet, but Sports Sheets Holler at please. Us. We'd love to have you as a sponsor.
Just of our lives. It doesn't even have to be this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Sports Sheets, they make great products, but they do make a great like mattress protector mm-hmm. for all the squirters in your life.
Or, you know, like I said, anything else that might arise.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I know this is, yeah, to me it seems like I don't mean this in a way that is discrediting this, but it seems like a non-problem. It seems
yeah,
like
I agree.
It seems like you want to like go for it, and it seems like she every time you kind of bring that up, she's not into it, but you're getting like close to it, and you can see that she enjoys it. So you're like, well, let's go for it. And I think anal is tricky. One, my rule always is like, you know, I'm not someone who likes getting pegged. I'm not, you know, strap me down. So I've always approached anal as like just an optional thing because I'm all about reciprocity. Like any,
oh, yeah.
you know, so it, so because that's something I don't do, I'm never going to push it on someone if they're like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Which is a great rule just across the board.
Yeah, if you're not...
Expect something from somebody else that you are not also willing to give them.
So I guess I say that to ask yourself that. Yeah, are you willing to put it on the table? Are you willing to get strapped down?
Well, it's interesting because I do feel like, you know, a lot of people... Because I feel like anal is like the first sort of like taboo thing you know about as like a sex thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we were kids or teenagers or whatever, maybe 100%. Not now. And I think that a lot of us tried it in a way that was not successful.
Yeah.
Because we were too young, no lube, just spit on it, whatever. Horrible.
Yeah.
And that is an awful experience for almost everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that clearly she's enjoying herself and she's relaxed and she's comfortable and she likes it because she is so comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think that that maybe is something that she isn't thinking about. And so forever it would have been like, no, I don't like this thing. And now you're getting these signs of like, well, maybe she does like this.
Yeah.
And I think that having that conversation with someone often helps them reflect about what they think about it and what they mean and what their actual boundary is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is exactly that. I think there can be an open conversation because, you know, that's what's so interesting to me from the original poster is saying like, oh, I'm a big consent guy, so it kind of bothers me that we're doing something. I don't know why you're having trouble just like having an open conversation where it's like, okay, we're doing this. What does this mean? Because yeah,
I think probably because she keeps saying she doesn't like it over and over again, and he doesn't want to feel like he's pushing her.
Yeah, but I feel like if you're...
You got to push a little.
Yeah, yeah, to get in
for
there.
Questions and anal.
Yeah, but I also think, yeah, I think that... Because it is something that is like actively happening, it's something you can actively check in on. Because I get that, you know, you usually ask once, don't ask again. You know, if you get a no, if you get an unsure yes, no need to ask again.
They'll let you know if they change their mind.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that you've asked has let them know that you are interested.
Yeah, and she's clearly having a good time. So if you're cool with everything that's going on, I think keep it rocking.
Yeah, I think he just wants to get in that butt. I think that's what it is. And I think, yeah, I think that if that's the case, if everything you're saying is happening and you want to get in that butt, I think talk about working up to it. Talk about plugs.
Get some fucking plugs.
Get it.
Best.
Play with the plugs as you like are, you know, playing at home and see if that feels good. Because
especially if she likes fingers in her mouth and stuff, because mm-hmm. that stuff will just keep that pressure there while you're having sex. So actually might also help the thing that he's talking about where he's like, well, I think that she doesn't come as hard if we're having penetrative vaginal sex. And I was like, oh, I actually think that the plug would probably help that for her.
Oh yeah. So yeah, this is very fixable. I think
this isn't even a problem.
Have that conversation.
Congratulations on your butt sex later.
Yeah, yeah. You have have a very light dinner and go in. Yeah. Yes. Oh, this is, yeah, we're off to a great, I saw that one and knew I just had to jump right into
Listen,
it.
Listen, I love it because I really love when we have different kinds of things because sometimes, like, I feel like we pick intense questions and sometimes it's just funny and this is, like, very interesting and not, like, an actual problem and more, like, advice.
Yeah, yeah. And just talking about butt stuff. I think
Which
that...
Which we are into.
Yeah. But, it's so interesting because, you know, I did this show yesterday and I, you know, I'm not going to out the friend comic who was talking about it. I don't know if they made a song about it in their show. But
I mean, that seems very specific. I just feel like I'm not going to say their name, but I am going to tell you exactly what they do.
Whatever. They were talking about butt stuff, and it was very interesting to see, like, the conversation around, because I feel like butt stuff was very guarded and...
Like I said, it's the first, like, taboo, quote-unquote, yeah, thing, because it was only on your birthday.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, that's exactly... That was a running joke that was always put in at midnight segments, you know?
Like, we can't have anal on our birthdays because we like food too much.
Yeah, yeah, we're eating too much.
Well, I guess you could. I can't.
Yeah, but yeah, so yeah, it is interesting to see the growth and like exploration into like different sexual things that people are trying out because I think that's how you're gonna have a good time. And
well, and also, like, you know, when we, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
When we were on that game changer clip where there's someone that commented on it that was like, I don't understand why you'd have sex as many times. Doesn't it get boring? And I was like, yeah, if you're having the same sex over and over again, it would definitely get boring. But why would you do that? Like,
also
try
just
new
like
stuff.
Your relationship to sex, you know, like, I think we've talked about it on this pod before. And I think many people, everybody has different like levels of desire for sex.
And ours are high.
Yeah. And so because of that, yeah, no, it doesn't. It's fun. It's a fun thing. And
also, it's like time that we get to spend together. It's fun to connect and like have like this intimate, like face-to-face moment whenever.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that trying new things, making it exciting, having that connection. It's always funny how often a lot of like relationship tension is just, oh, y'all haven't had sex in a while. And then once you have that sex.
Yeah. And you know, that's how I know we're built different because I feel like 2 days into us, if we don't have sex for 2 days in a row, I'm like, I'm in a horrible mood. And I don't know what that says about me. Maybe I need to look inward.
All right. Well, let's jump into the next one. My 32 female boyfriend, 35 male of 6 years, just disappeared while I was out of town, and I don't know what to do.
Oh, my God. I hope he's dead. Otherwise, kill him.
Last Tuesday evening, I came home from being out of town for 2 weeks for work. My boyfriend, Nate, was supposed to pick me up from the airport, but once I got in, I wasn't able to get a hold of him, and he never showed up. I was a little annoyed, but not too worried, because I figured he'd fallen asleep. When I talked to him early that morning, he said he didn't sleep very well the night before and was going to lay down before he had to come get me. So I called my sister for a ride home. When I got home, Nate was nowhere to be found. I checked the garage, and his car was gone, so I sent him a text asking where he was, and headed up the stairs unpacked. When I opened the closet to put my things away, I saw that almost all of his clothes were gone.
Oh my God.
At this point, I'm confused, so I start calling him, and it just keeps ringing and then going to voicemail. I check his office, and everything is still there. Everything in the house is still there and in place, except for his clothes and his car. I'm really starting to freak out at this point, so I call my sister, and she comes over, and we both try calling and messaging him and still get no answer. His computer, his laptop are both still in his office. I logged on to his computer and my sister, his laptop. I know all of his passwords, but we didn't find anything out of the ordinary. So I start searching his desk and found an iPad in the top drawer. I logged into it and checked everything I could think of and found nothing out of the ordinary. My sister suggested checking to find my iPhone app and his iPad to suggested checking the Find My iPhone app on his iPad to see if we can find out where his phone was. We logged into the app and see that his phone was pinging in the next state over. I started calling him again, but I still got no answers to my call or text. I really started to lose it here. My mind starts going all over the place, trying to figure out what could be going on. I called the police because I think somebody has to have done something to him. The police came out.
He took all his clothes.
But they said there wasn't much they could do because he hasn't been gone long and his clothes missing was a sign that he left of his own volition.
Yeah.
Over the last few days, I've done everything I can to contact him. He doesn't have any family except for a brother that he cut ties with before I met him. I found him online and I sent him a message and he hasn't seen or heard from Nate in years. I keep checking his phones and since Saturday morning, it has been pinging in the same location in the Pacific Northwest.
Go there.
I took off work for the rest of the week. And my sister and I are flying up there to go to the location his phone is pinging. Has anyone ever dealt with anything like this before? How do I even confront him? What if he is with another woman? What if he isn't there or worse? I am lost and hurt right now.
I was ready to go.
Right now, and my mind's all over the place. I can't think straight. I'm so lost right now. Too long, didn't read my... boyfriend of 6 years disappeared while I was out of town. Haven't been able to contact him, but his phone is pinging in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm going to confront him tomorrow. Edit, yes, I've called or messaged all of his friends. None of them have seen or heard from him. I do have access to his bank account as we have a joint account, but not his business account. He last used his debit card Friday night in a town of Seattle, Washington. He owns his own business, but has taken a step back over the last year, so he doesn't communicate with them regularly. They haven't heard from him since last month. I am 5 months pregnant, and we have known for 3 months. He did become a bit reserved and withdrawn since we found out, but it's not uncommon for him to do that every so often, especially around this time of year. I don't truly believe that he would abandon me and his child. That's not the type of man he is. I don't know what to think anymore. There is an update, a small update, but I wanted to get all that out first.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, if you're going to leave, why would you take your clothes? Just leave your clothes. Because why didn't you take the laptop and iPad and shit?
Yeah. What's interesting is like...
Because he's definitely leaving you.
Yeah. Because him taking the clothes is what made me go, oh... Because I was afraid at first this might be a like suicide thing.
Yeah. Or like I was out with somebody and I got something bad happened to me. Yeah. I agree. But then it was as soon as the clothes were gone, yeah, I'm like, no. Like, because if someone robbed you, they'd have all those electronics.
Yeah. So the electronics are there. And it's very interesting too because... The fact that they share passwords, I think he is aware that a footprint would be left, but him not like turning off Find My iPhone makes me wonder, what is happening? This feels like it could be, you know, a mental health thing too.
Well, the person who's like, he was like, oh, I didn't sleep very well and then was just gone, right? But so I was like, oh, I think he could be have been like, I'm about to leave this woman and I can't sleep.
Yeah.
And now I'm gone.
I know. This is very, it could be.
Or I drove all the way to fucking Seattle.
It could be so many things because, you know, the baby bit that we just find out about at the end.
Yeah.
There's another element where it's
which
like
it definitely
of,
is.
Yeah, it's you know, it's dawning on him, it's getting closer at and at you know, around.
And you're at to past the point where you can get an abortion or anything if you wanted to, so you found out too late.
Yeah. And at 5 months you're starting to show too. So like it probably got so for real for him and this could be the reaction to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't have any advice because what the fuck?
Yeah, I think all we can do is look at this small update.
This update.
First off, I want to say thank you to everyone for suggesting the welfare check, especially the Muppet John Bon Jovi. We called the department.
Not
where
something
his
I thought you'd say today.
We called the department where his phone is pinging, and they have sent someone over to see if they can make contact with him. Oh, there is another update, too.
Oh, yes.
It's been over an hour, and we're still waiting to hear back. I am hopeful, but I still have an overbearing sense of dread. All I want to know right now is he okay, and I can figure everything else later.
I think what you should need to know, well, yes, I agree. Is he okay? But
oh,
also,
my God,
I think
multiple updates.
But also, I think the other update is make sure you know where this fucking man lives to get child support from him.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Update. The police were able to do a welfare check, and although they were unable to make direct contact with him, they spoke to the couple who live at the house. They said they were old family friends and that he was there on Friday and Saturday, but he went to the Olympics Sunday morning to the Olympic, the Olympics, the area, not the event.
Olympic Washington.
Yeah. Sunday morning to go hiking for a couple of days. The officer informed them of what was going on, and they told him they believed he was okay and that he would, that they would contact me tonight to try and help explain the situation. What does that even mean? I'm even more confused. Our flight to Seattle was at 9:45 a.m. tomorrow, and at this point, we are still going.
Yeah,
I hope
they
these
should.
People do call, but it's been a while now, and I haven't heard anything.
Well, also,
new update.
I'm sort of scared to read this update. I mean, I'm excited, but because I feel like, oh, you're going to visit family friends, and then you're just taking a hike alone in the fucking woods and two states over. Like, that can't be great.
New update. I think this will be my final update.
Oh, God.
I have to get ready and get my stuff packed for the flight in the morning. I've just spent the last hour speaking to the couple whose house he was at, and they, against his wishes, told me what is going on. They have known Nate since he was 12 years old. He started dating their daughter, Ashley, when they were in sixth grade, and they co-united.
Oh, that's what the fuck?
They co-united, dated all through middle school and high school. Ashley got pregnant toward the end of their senior year, and they got engaged. I don't know how to even write this next part. When their son was 1.5 years old, they were involved in an accident with a drunk driver. Nate was ejected from the car, and Ashley and his son passed away in the accident.
Oh, she said that, my God.
She said that he blames himself for it because, according to him, they were never supposed to be out that night, and it was his fault they were. She said he withdrew from them and everyone else that up until last Friday that hadn't heard from him since he left. She has offered to come get my sister and I from the airport in the morning, and she can try and answer any questions I have while we wait for him to return. She said they know where he is. He is at a spot they spread their ashes. She said he told her that he needs to be with his son one more time before he lets him go. I'm honestly in a total state of shock right now. I don't know what to think, but I know he is in pain, and I need to get him, and we can figure everything else out after.
Holy shit.
This felt like playing a video game RPG quest.
I know. We made it to the end.
With every step of the way. Because
that's fucking nuts.
Yeah, and it's so clear because
how come she doesn't know any of that information?
Well, remember, she said that he distanced himself from all that family, so that means he went through that accident.
Oh, and he distanced every she's like, every year at this time, it's weird.
Yes,
she's like, I know.
Oh my God,
that's why. But that's what I'm saying. Like, she is in this full relationship. Why don't you know that he had a kid with somebody else and they both died? That's like a huge thing you need to know.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like that's a huge trauma. And everything with her being pregnant, it all just comes.
Oh, yeah. Because it's like, oh, no, it's going to happen again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What a roller coaster.
Okay, so I feel bad for clowning on that man.
Oh, what a roller. This man. Yes. And then you, like you said, he couldn't sleep. He was like depressed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's like crazy to just not talk to your wife. Wife, right? Girlfriend?
Yeah, boyfriend. So they're not married yet.
But yes, okay. So
but they're probably about
girlfriend.
To be. Yeah.
It's got to be a lot. But I was like, but I think like she seems very understanding. So if it's like, hey, I just need a couple days of myself, like I'm having a really hard time, it seems like she would have been like, great, let's just talk about it when you get back. I totally understand.
Oh,
not that I know her or him, but it seems like she's very understanding about the things that he's going through, even without knowing what they're about.
Yeah, that's so
so nuts.
Wild.
I apologize.
I do request one final update just to let us know he's alive.
Yeah, I agree.
Because like this is a lot, and all the pieces just come together just in a big way where it's like, oh, it's one of those things where you just, once you got that piece of information, everything else makes sense.
Yeah.
You're about to have this kid and it's around this time of the year that you always get kind of weird because of that specific incident. It's all just, wow.
Yeah. I can't imagine what the loss of a child is like. Like, and so I feel like for this, like, I can't really give any advice on how to help for that because that is such like a very deeply personal and like
this is this
tragic.
I don't think anyone besides a licensed professional can. And
yeah,
I,
that's why I was like, I can't touch that.
I hope that at the very least, both of y'all definitely need that. Definitely need to be talking to someone.
Yeah.
But I think on top of that, has he been talking to someone? Because if you're having this huge trauma that's seemingly unaddressed and you've just been holding that weight, and then you just, you essentially...
Especially when he clearly feels like guilty.
And this word is so often misused, but I truly mean it in the truest sense of the world, where like the pregnancy triggered him.
Yeah, 100%. Because it's like, oh no, this has happened to me before and it was so great. And then it was completely and utterly life-changing and devastating. And yeah. What happens if that happens again?
Yeah.
And probably the guilt of like, now I feel like I have this child who has died that I am now replacing with this new child, which obviously isn't what's happening, but I'm sure that it feels like that.
Definitely. Yeah.
Especially because he lost her and the child at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, not only are you afraid that that's going to happen again to your child, but also to your partner.
Definitely. Like I think, like we said, this one is built for a professional. We're not going to touch it, but you already know what we think because you were with us along for this long ride.
I'm glad I was wrong about Secret Family.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, kind of wrong.
Yeah, that family was still a secret, but like it's now.
I'm glad that the parents told her.
Yeah.
Anyone would want that information, especially because she's clearly worried about him. It's not like she's pissed.
Yeah. And that already makes me excited for the growth that they will see because they are already actively working on it. But right now we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to jump into some more mess.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to our relationship pod. We're about to get it in. We just had one fun one, one
roller coaster of an intense one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is going to be the other side.
Kill that man.
I know. It's going to come back to haunt you, literally. This one is the other side of the sandwich. You know, the top of the sandwich is something a little goofy, something that could be, you know, more thoughtful, something we can dive in a deep conversation with. And I feel like this is the start of this one, maybe, based on this title.
Because you don't read them all the way through, do
no,
you?
No, I just skim. Yeah, I do just a light skim just to make sure it's not something too... You know,
terrible.
Yeah,
because we do. There are some stuff that things that we do stay away from.
Yeah, because this is a comedy podcast. You know, we get our little insightful bag. We get into our little discussion bag. We try and give real advice. But you know, I'm still gonna doing my ha ha hee hee.
Well, and there's just certain things that we understand are very big deals, and that we shouldn't be giving advice without being a professional.
100%. Let's see if that's the case here. My wife, 29 female, is killing our marriage, and I, 29 male, am at a total loss of what is left to do. Is there any hope? I'm at my breaking point. I have poured my heart and soul into this marriage, and I get the joy beat out of me daily. I'm a hopeless optimistic, and my mom has said I'm the most happy-go-lucky person she's ever met. My wife has beaten that person into a coma. I can't...
Jesus.
take the endless complaining anymore. The constant worry and anxiety about the future, the torrents of pessimism, the doom and gloom over every little thing. She doesn't know how to have fun. She doesn't know how to relax. She doesn't live in the present. She lives in the dangerous future or the humiliating past. She tells me she wants to be lusted over and pursued, but she won't blow me. Hell, she hasn't blown me in 2 years. I eat her out with fervor and passion. And she tells me she just wants to have sex and skip all the foreplay. She wants to be pleased and made to feel ecstasy, but she can't be bothered to ride me. She wants to have wild tantric sex in every corner of the house, but won't put on any of the lingerie I've bought for her over the years. She wants to feel how much I love her and connect our souls, but she closes her eyes when we have sex. She started therapy 5 months ago, and after having a total crisis of self, and she has made no improvements. Hell, she started drinking and using weed to sleep at night again. She's picking up all the habits she swore off again, and I'm done. My love for her is dead. I can't bring myself to initiate anymore because I don't love her. I want to cry every single day, but I refuse to let her make me cry. I've been sober for 6 months. I've lost 15 pounds so far. I've been making time to see my friends and family more often. I'm so happy with them. I dread coming home every single day. I can't do this anymore. This marriage feels dead in the water to me. Too long didn't read. My wife only cares about herself and her pleasure. Her anxiety is killing our marriage. She's regressing to old habits, and I'm trying to move on and live better. I'm at a loss for what to do. Interesting.
I don't think he is at a loss for what to do. He wants to leave her.
Yeah, I think that's what I kind of got from this, is it seems like you've waited too long to fix these problems, and you don't want to do the work anymore. And I think there is definitely validity in that, but I do think it is worth knowing that you also took this long to get to. You waited till you hit a breaking point to try and address the problems. You waited till you were at your wit's end before like bringing things up. I think there's a lot of everything you said seems like someone with like severe anxiety and depression, and she's only in 5 months of therapy. And with anxiety and depression this severe, it's not going to change in 5 months. Therapy isn't just a magical thing that you start to go to, and then after
and then
a couple
like, oh,
sessions,
great,
you're
trauma,
like, it's good.
Gone.
You know, and you said 5 months. I don't know how often she's going. I don't know which tools. Also, there's many
other... Well, what she's talking about in therapy.
That's what was exactly what I was going to say next. Is also, people can lie to their therapist and kind of skirt around actual work sometimes.
Well, you know, and I think that I've had a therapist for a really long... I've been in therapy for 18 years of my life, and I've had the same therapist for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, I think, a decade. And I think that I didn't start making like really big strides in therapy until like maybe like 4 or 5 years in.
Yeah.
And like everyone's situation is different. Everyone's trauma is different. Like depression, anxiety, all of that is very personal to each person. However, I think that when you start going to therapy, you start talking about things that are happening in like your daily life or whatever. And it kind of takes a long time to get down to what like the root of your literal trauma is, because like it could be like manifesting in a way that's like, hey, I noticed this thing that you do that's from A, B, or C. And then like, oh yeah. And then like a year later, I find out it's because of something that happened when I was a kid.
Yeah. And I think there's an element too. I mean, there's nothing that's being said about how long y'all have been married, but I don't want to be, you know, as super callous in this statement. I don't want to say this and really kind of attack you, because you are dealing with stuff, and I will have things to say about like what you're dealing with. I'm talking, I mean, the only way to do this pod is to talk as if they're listening, but it is still funny to me that I'm talking as,
it reminds me of when you did Ron's podcast and he's like, who are you talking to?
But you know, there is an element here that you have to, kind of have to look at as to why you haven't had any clues as to what is happening. Like,
that's a good point.
Like, That's not to say you are you. You have your life. You are not that person's therapist. It is not on you. But I do find that when I've dated people in the past, was dealt with depression, I've been able
to. Also, we can very much know that I am. I also have depression.
Yes, yes.
I am not depressed currently, but.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, like.
Just saying.
In the past, like through discussion and talking about our lives and kind of hearing about upbringings and doing that, I've been able to kind of, you know, yarn, string board, you know, certain things that I'm like, oh, I see why you might do this. Oh, I see. And I'm not a professional. I just, you know, look at clues and
yeah,
as someone
context,
who
clues.
Kind of goes to therapy and kind of like knows how mental health works and knows how much, even as a parent, kind of learning how much like the things that you impart on your children affect who you are. Mm-hmm. This happens. So to me, you know, it seems like you're kind of throwing your hands up. It's like, I don't know where any of this is coming from.
And you probably know where some of it's coming from.
Yeah. And you probably know this is making assumptions based off of what you give me. That's all we can do. But also, I am like, kind of asking like, are you asking questions about her? Are you like, kind of like doing it? Because I think the reason those conversations are important is because it allows you to have the opportunity to kind of like challenge and question and maybe suggest and kind of get, kind of find the root of these things or get close to it sooner so that at least, you know, you're not waiting until you are ready to walk and sign up these divorce papers before you're telling her to go to therapy.
Yeah. And also I feel like a lot of times, just like for the anal question earlier, people don't ask for clarification. Like, she's telling you she wants these things and they all sound very counterintuitive.
Yeah.
So I feel like you can be like, I hear you when you're telling me you want these things. Can you give me examples of what would be good for you for those experiences? Because I'm confused.
Well, I think what his problem is when he was bringing all that up, which is extremely valid, is there's no reciprocity.
She wants
all of these things.
But if she says that to him, she's going to be upset. If he says that to her, she's going to be upset. But I think that there is a way to bring it up where you can sort of talk about.
I'm going to go on a limb and say, if that's something you're upset about, then.
Well, it seems like, I mean, what did he call her? It seems like she's just mad about lots of stuff.
Yeah. But like, you know, if someone is eating you out regularly and they're like, hey, can I get a blowjob? And you're like, no. Like, that's,
yeah, then I'm not gonna eat
that's
you out
wild
anymore.
To me. That's wild. Then it's like, okay, then no. It's like, oh, you know, it was like, oh man, I want you to fuck the shit out of me. I want you to do this, this, and that. I was like, cool. Can you like ride me? And she's like, no. But also, you know, I don't know if this is like something that is, it seems like there's not much talking.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's the only thing that like worries me about this is like, all your concerns are valid and I can see how it's worn down on you, but are you having hard conversations or are you thinking, okay, I'm eating her out. She's obviously going to suck my dick. And I know it's a very weird thing. I personally have a hard time, telling partners to suck my dick because it just feels like, I think, you know, societally it just feels weird like to be like, suck my dick, and you know, you're rolling your eyes, but
I'm not rolling my eyes.
Okay, it looked like you were rolling your eyes.
No, I was gonna say something and I changed my mind.
Oh, what were you gonna say?
Yes, I do wish you would tell me to do it.
But yeah,
you asked me to say it out loud.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, so that's I understand that it's a lot, and I also don't want to flip it and be like, ah, here's what you're doing wrong, because you're not. You this is very valid. Like I said, you are just a person trying to live your life. You're just a person who was dealing with a severely depressed and person with anxiety, and that's hard. No one's equipped to deal with that, because
including the people with anxiety and depression,
definitely. But also, no one is, you know, kind of taught to have this compassion. Like, you know, you say till death do us part, but no one ever sits down and say like, oh, things might go south.
Yeah,
and
what
here
if
are
I become
things.
Severely depressed?
Yeah, you know, I think couples therapy should have started with therapy. I think that is also a thing. And, you know, that's the only thing that I will say, and I'll flip it. This is the last I'm gonna say about original poster, because I do. Look, that's the last I'm gonna say. Is two things. Are you in therapy? Because you need to be going to therapy as well. And are you in couples therapy? Because you need to go. Because I do find a pet peeve that a lot of times couples will have issues like this and be like, you need to go to therapy. Both people should be in therapy.
Yeah.
Therapy is not something you go to when there's a problem. Therapy is a way to go. That's your oil check. That's your tune-up.
To negate problems.
It is to give you the tools to handle things.
Yeah.
It's to give you problem-solving tools. It's to push you to have hard conversations so that you're not waiting deep into your marriage and there's 5 months left. There's 5 months of therapy and you're like, well, I'm ready to out. I'm out.
Yeah, it's also just very good to have a neutral sounding board where, because I feel like sometimes, and this is just like a tangent about couples therapy, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of times, like a lot of people look at it of like, we're having an argument and I want to talk about it in therapy or whatever. Okay. An argument or like a disagreement or whatever. And they're like, and they're waiting for someone to tell them who is right.
Yeah.
And the therapist will never do that. A therapist will give you the communication tools for you to talk about the problem and realize that it's not about who's right and who's wrong, but it's about how you both move forward as a team instead of as adversaries.
Yeah. Also, you know, and I figured out why I kind of came at op so hard. I think it is because I know you're fed up. I know you're having a hard time with this, but I'm reading this and I'm not seeing any compassion for this person that you were married to. There's zero compassion. I feel like at finding out that this person needs therapy and them having a crisis of self should have at least been a light bulb moment for you to be like, oh, that's what's happening.
Yeah, it's not necessarily me. It's a lot going on.
But
with
instead, you were like, no, this needs to be fixed immediately. And this,
and I want my dick sucked.
Yeah, which like I get it.
Oh, me too. It's just very funny that that's in there with all this other really intense information.
Yeah, because I think that these are two different issues that need to be handled differently.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, that's where the couples therapy is going to help you come in and try and like have you find ways to communicate and build this reciprocity.
And not keeping score about what's going on.
Yeah. You know, because also, you know, like I always say, everyone who drops information in here is always going to give their side. You're obviously activated. But I think that a lack of compassion for her mental health kind of did make me look at you a little sideways, because it seems like you were looking for the way out and not a solution to this problem. It reads as if you were looking for like, yes, this is why it's not working and I need to get out of here. It doesn't seem like you were like, oh, I'm doing this. And especially you've been sober 6 months, you lost 15 pounds. So you're clocking the fact that you are looking better. You're probably out with your friends hanging out and you're seeing women look at you and you're getting hyped. But I'm gonna tell you something right now. I'm gonna be all the way real with you. You're looking good. I'm very happy for you. Keep that energy. Stay good. I will say the looking eyes that you get while you got that ring on the finger is not going to be the same when you get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let the greener get grass, the idea that you might be,
because the greener grass crushing is probably also depressed.
Yeah, the idea that you might be, because I get it. Like if you're 29 and this marriage seems like it has been going on for a while, so you're mid 20s to your late 20s, you're about to be 30. That's usually when people start to have their adult glow up for most people.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing the world differently. But I think just make sure if you're done, you can be done. It seems like you've done a lot, and you know your wife can go on this journey and figure things out for herself. But I will say, don't let, you know, the eyes that want to steal make you think that they're eyes that's wanting to wife you up when you're out in these streets after. And don't be sick when she figures her shit out and she's good and she's looking good and you watch her happy with another man. You don't get to be mad because you weren't there to put in the work for her to get to that place.
Hell yeah. Can I give you a compliment?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. No compliments.
You looked hella confused.
No.
I will say you are very good at helping me deal with my anxiety. in a way, that's very interesting because you don't have anxiety almost ever.
No.
I mean, I would say maybe never, maybe not never, but
I have, like, if there's a thing that's opposite of anxiety.
Yeah. Which is
wonton confidence.
Which I am very jealous of.
Say it. Oh, keep saying it. Keep talking.
Which I am jealous of, but I feel like even though you do not understand all the anxiety I have, you are so good at reassuring me that although I am anxious, it is fine. And that, like, the things that I am anxious about, we can deal with one by one and, like, either push through it because it's not too much anxiety, or if it's too much anxiety, like, what's the next step?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just really great at that. And I appreciate you.
Yeah, no, I try, you know, I try my best, you know, to just in general. And, you know, I think even outside of, you know, my romantic relationships, I want everyone to feel supported. And I think that we live in a world where people don't do that. People, yeah. I think,
because it's gay to like your friends.
Well, we were talking about this in the last episode, how there's like we're able to meet way more people than we ever have because of that. And I think because of that, that's made people feel like other people are easily discarded.
Yeah, because there's no perfect person. We all have flaws. And
yeah, and but they feel like, okay, well, you shouldn't feel bad because you can just find somebody else just the same way I'm going to choose to find somebody else. But I don't try and live that way. I try to, you know, at least make anyone who interacts with me feels like, you know, I'm connecting with them on a very real level.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also, like, if there is like a problem or an issue, I'm going to be upfront about it. I'm going to talk with you. If something's been like raking on my brain, I'm going to bring it up. You know, I've had that recently where someone who, you know, I fell out with, I just hit them up and I'm like, yo, hey, this has been on my mind. I feel like I kind of did you dirty, da da da. Talked, and they're like, "Well, I don't know why you're choosing to say this now, because it was like, I'm sure it was weird to
just
get this
out of nowhere."
And I was like, "Oh, because it was on my mind, and I wanted to do it."
Yeah,
I don't need an ulterior motive. I just do the shit I want. all right. So yeah, this is. I mean, it is fixable. It really is. I truly think it is.
Yeah, you have to want to, though.
But exactly, you have to want to.
And currently, it doesn't feel like they do.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to,
then go ahead and get out of there.
Yeah.
But
you just have to find out what's worth it for you.
Yeah. And my only thing is, definitely, if you do that and that's your choice, more power to you. Just stay out their life. Don't come trying to come back around when your bed's empty or if you're lonely.
Or when you see that she's like healing and like, I see that you're doing all these things now. Yeah. Like, do not. Because
for two reasons. One, just because I'm just saying it for petty reasons where I just don't try and creep back when you weren't trying to put in the work. But I think also you choosing to leave her in this moment right now is going to be make this even worse. This is going to be terrible. She is going to feel like her mental health was the reason that it pushed you away, and it is. And you trying to come back into her life while she works on that is going to mess that up. So,
and just be confusing for her.
So if you're going to leave, that's fine, but then leave. Don't be waiting around.
Don't
to see.
Be back and forth.
Yeah. Because obviously I can tell that you are attracted to her since you're eating her out with fervor and passion. It just seems like you're looking for reciprocity, which isn't wrong. You should look for reciprocity.
Mm-hmm.
And I get, like, that's why I keep trying to mention the fact that this is something you've dealt with for a very, very long time and it is finally getting fixed. So you are done. So I'm not saying there's something wrong with you being done, but, you know, you being done because after 5 months of therapy, nothing happened. I don't think therapy just doesn't work that way. And that was never going to be the case.
Yeah. Especially if you're only going once a month, which is generally how people go to therapy.
Yeah.
Once a month or once a week or whatever. So, like, even if it's once a week, it's only 20 times.
Yeah, I almost hope it's once a month because, you know... Well, we don't know how many times. We just know it's been 5 months of therapy.
That's what I'm saying. So it could be five times. It could be 20 times. You don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I go to therapy once a month now. I used to go twice a week.
Yeah. overtime.
I went twice a week for like almost a year. I was hella depressed. Yeah. I needed it.
Yeah.
And shout out to Eileen, my fucking ride or die.
Yeah.
Besides you, babe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's close it out. I, female 24, never met a man who wants to eat me out. Current partner, male 23, has some issues. How can we resolve this? Well, look, you might have some options. You might have some options in a couple months. I mean, you might need to introduce you to the person we just were talking to. I haven't been with a man who wants to eat me out. I've been with three men sexually, all 20s, and they either complain, refuse to do it, or complain. I'll admit, two of them were bad apples. They were both selfish and wouldn't even think about finishing me off, so I understand. However, now with my fiance, he isn't toxic. Sweetest man I ever met. He's also caring and attentive in bed. There's just one catch. He's grossed out by eating me out. He tells me I'm not dirt. He tells me I'm not dirty, that smell bad or taste bad. He says he gets in his head when he's down there about, this is a vag. I shouldn't be putting my mouth here. Ooh. Or he gets grossed out because his dick was in me. Or doesn't like the texture or fluid down there. He always feels bad and apologizes and still gets me off, but I feel weird and a little uneasy, unsexy when that happens. So it's gotten to the point where I refuse to go, where I refuse him to go down on me because I don't want him halfway through to stop or say he can't continue. Just want to know if this is normal. I understand it's a lot different than a BJ, and my fiance is. What do you
no.
mean?
No, no,
what
no,
do you,
no,
hold
no.
on. Fucking pump the fucking brakes. Pump the brakes. Hold the fucking phone.
Like, that's the thing we get most mad about this.
It's a lot different than a BJ, man. Fiance isn't being rude about anything. Bro, no.
Okay, first of all, do you think maybe he's got a little bit of autism?
I mean, like,
the texture thing I can sort of understand.
Yeah. You know, there's some of that action, but it is. Here's the thing. If he's not eating your pussy, you need to stop sucking his dick.
I agree. I can't believe this is the running theme in this.
As a matter of fact, here, I need you to take this. Next time he wants his dick sucked, like, I don't think you should just not even make a big deal about it. Just stop sucking his dick.
I mean, like, and, oh, I actually, this kind of grosses
me out. No, just stop sucking his dick. And then the moment he brings it up, that's when you say, yeah, I was thinking about what you were saying about, like, you're right. Like, that's my vag. Shouldn't be putting my mouth. I shouldn't be putting my mouth on your dick, you know, because you know your dick was in me.
It does the same thing.
Yeah, your dick was in me. You pee out of it? No, and see if that story holds up.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't get it after that, I think maybe you hold off on this marriage.
Yeah.
Y'all are in your early 20s anyway.
Well, and I also think that is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, it's wild because, you know, I was just doing a thing where we're, you know, talking about it and a buddy was like, oh, you know, people aren't tripping out about eating pussy anymore. And now I'm looking at this and I'm like, huh. Huh.
That's because 24 is.
The kids aren't all right.
Yeah, most of them are. Well, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. No, I like the rule is and will always be: if someone is not going down on you, you do not go down on them.
Yeah,
you simply do not put his goofy dick in your mouth. Like, I cannot believe he's trying these bullshit lines, and then he's doing it because he wasn't grossed out. You just get tired of it,
and yeah, like it mostly seems like he's lazy.
Look. If you seems like you like getting eaten out. It seems like that's your thing.
She knows if it's her thing because no one will do it.
I think you need to wait a while till you meet some of these guys. Whose dick gets hard eating pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you in business.
Yeah, agreed.
Like I can't. To me, I can't believe that. We keep running into this. Y'all got to get it together, boys.
For real.
What's happening? And that's what I'm talking about. See, this is what I'm talking about, all the fake hornies online. You know, online talking about like, oh, I would drink her bathwater. Oh, I want her. I would be her to be her chair.
Yeah,
oh,
have
I
you really be, drank someone's bathwater?
I want to take her yoga pants and make a tea out of it. You know, y'all ain't really about that life. Y'all over here not eating coochie. But online, you trying to keep up with me. Get out the race. Let the real horny fuckers tweet these horny jokes
it's
out.
It's us. Wave to the camera.
Don't be you out here. Don't. You taking up space for the real hornies.
Yeah, because we're good at eating pussy.
Don't come.
So you guys
don't
know.
Come into my mentions, my DMs with that fake
that
horny
not
joke.
What
hee hee ha ha. Because you stepping into a real fucker arena.
Bro, who are you talking to?
Whoever is stepping in here trying to shoot these jokes.
We were talking about this 24-year-old, and now you're talking about in your DMs.
Look, no more fake fuckers. Real fuckers only.
Which is like most of them.
Real fuckers only. Okay, stop all this. If your girl over here on our relationship advice complaining that you won't eat her out, and you over here retweeting Ice Spice talking about like, oh, I want to be up. I wish I was that thong. No, you don't. No, you don't. You ain't trying to be there. You ain't us. You ain't mm-hmm. built for this.
And if you are, you're doing a terrible job of proving it.
Your body turn wiggly like a cartoon when you see some coochie.
First of all,
me, I float in the air like a cartoon dog seeing a pie window seal. Did all that to say it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I mean.
Still.
I'll be floating. I see a nice shaved, unshaved, none of that. However you want. What makes you comfortable? You ain't got to do shit for me. I'm still coming.
Probably. We're not having goal. People are not. We're not having goal-based sex.
Oh, I was still talking about floating through the air.
Oh.
Towards the coochie.
Got it. Sorry. I got confused because
like
you
cartoon,
said coming.
Like a cartoon. Yeah, man. This is wild.
I love being the pie in this scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Feel it's pretty.
And double entendre, you know? But, yeah, no, it's...
This is fixable, I guess. Like, this man needs to shut the fuck up if he's going to do it. Like, why are you making her feel bad?
And here's the thing. It seems like he's trying his best not to. It seems like this is the best version of this.
Well, and that's why I was thinking maybe it's a little bit of autism. It's like a texture thing.
You know, but all, you know, and it's also like, she's like, oh, he's great and everything. And, da, da, da. And for me, it's just like, man. You're like settling for like subpar sex.
Well,
for in this marriage,
that's subpar for us.
Well, it's for her too. Like she's complaining about it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. But I think this is. I don't necessarily think it's subpar.
I think
that she wants this experience and she is not getting the experience. Well,
that makes it subpar sex. If you want something in bed and your partner does not want to do it. Like, is you're not getting what you want.
So I can peg you.
This is why we're ethically non-monogamous. Hop on field, find a booty that wants to be pegged. They on there. I see them. They be matching with me trying to get to you. But yeah, no, like, to me it's like, and like I said, I think you're right. If that's something that is not important to you and you are very fine with it.
Yeah.
You know, like I
that was my point of that whole thing.
But like if you're on Reddit asking about it, it is important to you. It is something.
I agree. And I didn't say her. I was just saying.
I'm saying you're settling. This person is their fiance. You're settling for a life of subpar sex.
Yeah.
Because everything else works out. And to me, I'm like. I kind of feel like everything else, there's a lot of people who could do everything else.
Yeah, well, it's so funny, right? Because we've had this conversation before where I've definitely dated men who are like, oh, I don't eat women out. And I'm like, well, I would never get married to you.
Yeah. Like, it's just like everything else, like a good job, cares for you. That is the baseline of being someone's partner. Like, you know, you're telling me, oh, he's sweet. He's caring. He's attentive in bed. He isn't toxic. That is the bar.
Yeah.
That is anyone who isn't doing that should not be dating you. So to me, this
spoken
I don't
by someone
see,
who truly doesn't date men.
I I don't see, I'm not seeing anything in that information as to why this is someone that you must marry.
Yeah, why that you can't find another person that's exactly. just like this, except for they'll eat you out.
Yeah.
And someone will, you'll find someone exactly the same, cares about you, emotionally supportive.
And you're not going into all the bullet points of why y'all are compatible and why they love. But to me, I get it right now that the streets is tragic for women. All my lady friends, the femmes and thems, they let me know. There's one of my favorite like kink performers was like, I went on dating site and I'm off because I just remembered men are trash. Gays and theys only. And I was like, no. And I was almost going to be like, hey, but I was like,
then you're doing the thing that they're all doing.
Exactly. I'm not following directions. Mm-hmm. And they're in San Francisco too. Well, I guess that's better. Whatever.
It seems like they only have sex with me, so I guess it's better for me.
Yeah. It's just, that's my original point. I know it's tragic out there. I don't think you necessarily need to marry these people.
Yeah, because I think if it's a non-negotiable thing for you, then stand by that.
Yeah, I think you can thug it out and see if they are willing to step up to the plate. But just,
if not, find someone who will.
That's wildlife. But I get it. There's a ton of reasons to date a bunch of people, marry a bunch of people outside a bedroom. Like I think
marry a bunch of people.
Not a bunch. Like saying that there's many reasons outside of bedroom stuff to marry someone if this is the one thing in bed. I get it. You know, like that makes sense. But everything you described about this man is just the baseline of being someone's partner.
Yeah, so, I totally agree with that.
So if you are listening to this, Throwsy the throwaway.
They are.
Then
I'm sure they follow. Hear me out.
And say and really like ask yourself, is he like exceptional, or am I in my early 20s and this is the first guy who's like treating
been
me
nice
with respect?
To me.
Yeah,
we've all been there, girl. Unfortunately,
I try not to be ageist, but like really, I do think.
I think that's not this, ageist. That's more life experience based.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all we have today. You got any final thoughts, Em?
No, I don't think so. This was good. Only one of them was pure wild.
Yeah. What a roller coaster. Thank y'all for listening.
Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, our relationship podcast on Instagram. Yeah. I'll be your...
Nope.
Oh, my... Oh, my Emily Louise on Instagram, if you want to be on Twitter and Instagram. And, the Patreon and YouTube linked in here if you want to watch our faces. It's completely unedited, but you know, you get to see the reactions. Love y'all. We'll see you.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.